And now I'd like to introduce our main speaker for the evening, Amora Kay from San Diego.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Amora. I'm an alcoholic. And thank you so much for asking me to speak tonight, Larry, and all of you for showing up. It's a great place to be. And my friend for coming with me. And let's see. Well, I'm 20 years sober on January 1st this year. Thank you. And I could only do it with your help in this program, that's for sure, one day at a time. I was born as the oldest of four girls in a very dysfunctional alcoholic family. So that's what I was raised on. That's all I knew, is how to live in chaos and dysfunction and just misery. And so today I choose as best as possible to let go of that suffering, because it's just not as much fun as having a good time, I'm telling you. And the feeling good natural way is the best way, and that's what I've learned. So initially, though, like I said, that's all I knew. It's just my experience, sphere of experience was falling down, drunken family, and a lot of chaos. So I was the oldest, and I had to raise everybody. And that meant I was in charge when I was 10 years old. So by 12 years old, when I found my first drink, I was really excited. I was like, oh, goody, now I get to join the party, and someone else can take control. But the problem was, is that my first drink was typically, like most teenagers, and it never changed to my last drink. I drank as much as possible and then proceeded to throw it up all over the place and spin out of control and pass out. And that was my experience. And my first time, I was at my girlfriend's house and her parents were out of town, and it was vodka and fruit juice, pink, red fruit juice, and yeah, it was messy, and it was her, and we were in her parents' white bedroom, yeah, so I was never invited back, but we did invite the boys over, so when I woke up and found hickeys on my neck, I was in trouble. When I got home and my parents saw that, they didn't figure out about the drinking, but they definitely grounded me for the next 5 years because of the hickeys. So needless to say, I was scared. I was more afraid of my family than I was of being drunk, than I was of the world. And so my family ruled, and they scared me. They really scared me hard. And so what happened was, instead of taking the path of my dysfunction, which is what I wanted to do, I had my girlfriend, we were ready to go. I got so scared that I was scared straight that I stayed in the house and had a new girlfriend. And she was a Mormon girlfriend, so it's completely the opposite. I'm like an extremist, you know, either like wild and crazy with Kathy or, you know, in the closet with Elaine, I remember. It was ridiculous. So for the next 4 years, 5 years, I was scared. I was very, very frightened little person. And I just retreated smaller and smaller into myself. And so I got married at 18 so they could get out of the house. And I married a normie, and I immediately wanted to start drinking and partying because that's what I learned, right? And so he didn't do it, and so I didn't do it. So that marriage didn't last. So then I found a couple of boyfriends, the same thing, you know, they would drink with me, but then I found out I didn't like being out of control with drugs and alcohol. So I know I'm kind of odd that way, but it's true. I was very afraid to be out in the world out of control with drugs and alcohol. So I waited again until I found my second husband, and he was perfect. Oh my God, he was sent to me, a gift from heaven. I didn't know about drugs at that time because I had only had aspirin, and he was a cocaine addict. So I know. I went from aspirin to cocaine. It worked. And yeah, it took me 3 years to go down boom, hard because, you know, it just burnt out my system. I couldn't tolerate it. So what ended up happening was we wanted to have children. So I said, well, we have to get sober. We have to clean up our act. But I didn't realize at the time that that meant alcohol, and I didn't realize that was a drug. So I didn't put that requirement out there. And we were able to get sober, And then I was able to have these little children. I have twin boys. And it was a beautiful blessing. But the problem was, is that I was doing the same thing I learned. So I was nursing my children after I had come home from dinner, having martinis. You know, I was like, uh-oh. And I just saw, I could see that they were going to have the same existence that I had, and I didn't want them to do that. And what I forgot to tell you is that at 13, my mother did get sober. So she was my example also. So I talked to her, and she said, you know, maybe you have a problem with alcoholism, and it's a family disease, and maybe you might want to check out a meeting. And I was like, I'm nothing like you. I'm not like you. You know, I don't do this, I don't do that. And I was just all high and mighty. And she said, yet. She said those three words, yet. And I went, oh, my God. The idea of going down that road scared me so badly again that I decided to check it out. So I did. And I went to a meeting, and I lived in Malibu at the time. And I would go to these noon meetings, and I'd be stressed out with these little kids, you know. And I would walk in the meeting, and I'd sit down, and then they'd, you know, that whole peace and serenity starts to descend on you when you sit still for a minute. And I'd listen to the message, and I'd get all high and excited about life and the possibility of sobriety. And I'd go home, and I'd be super happy. And I was very fortunate to have a well-to-do husband, and I had a housekeeper, and she'd be like, that's it. I'm not going to watch these kids if you keep having an affair. Because I came home so happy, she thought I was having an affair. And I did. I loved Alcoholics Anonymous. It just made me so happy. But the problem was that my husband didn't like the idea of me being sober, and we couldn't relate to each other that way because he was my drinking buddy. So I was able to stay sober during the time when we were in the home together, long enough for the tension to build, and then he'd say, let's go on a trip. And I'd say, okay. And then we'd go on a trip, and I'd do the Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing. And suddenly I would forget all about my sobriety and start drinking and feel all demoralized, and the same thing would happen. There was nothing new at all, except I'd get a feeling worse and worse and worse and worse. And I knew that there was something better out there because you had shown me that. So finally, it took what it took, and about 4 years of this in-and-out business. And thank God I was sober for most of that with my children, so they didn't have to experience that. I finally got to the end because I said I would never drive them drunk the way I was driven around drunk. And that's what I found myself doing one day. We went to a children's birthday party, and we were in the hills somewhere, some beautiful house, and with normies, so they didn't know I was drinking, you know, or sober. And they were passing the champagne around. It was New Year's Eve. I said, yes, I'll have some. Completely forgetting this disease is so insidious that way. So I had the kids in the back of the car. I was driving home drunk. I said to my husband, the party's on. I didn't care about my sobriety. I'd had 18 months at that time. And that was the most I was able to accumulate. And so I got totally drunk again. Same thing. And I woke up in the morning, New Year's Day. That was it. And I said, I surrender, God. I will do anything it takes to get sober. I can't stand this anymore. So I crawled into a meeting, literally, and I said, you know, I give. Give me the grace. I need sobriety in my life. So ever since then, thank God, one day at a time, I've been able to stay sober through hell and high water. And so what that meant was 3 months into my sobriety, I had to do the hardest thing ever, which was leave my husband. And so I did. So I became the mother, the single mother of these five-year-old twin boys. And wow, that was a big handful. And so then I went back, and I thought, okay, I'm going to have to support myself. And now I didn't do any of this alone. Remember, I was a frightened, very frightened person who couldn't do anything. And you guys all showed me how to live life sober, one day at a time. So I learned how to reach out and ask for help. I knew I wasn't alone, and so I did, and I asked, what should I do? I need to be able to support my family. We're self-supporting. So I went back to school, and I got my master's degree. I know, and I could never finish a course in college, let alone get my master's. So that was pretty astonishing. And I'm in the healing profession today, and as a result of that. Every single day I help people. Every single day. And the basis of my helping them is what I've learned in this program, to be of service, to be honest, to be compassionate, to be open, to show people there is another way. That's all we want to know. Just show me a new way. Because after a while, it's no fun to be in hell. So as a result of all of that, I was able to help my children grow up, and now they're 25, and they're off on their own, they're exploring the world, they're helping other people. They have a choice, they do. They are not in the program, they've chosen to do whatever they want, but they can see their dad's example and mine example. And I was able to make amends to everybody and able to heal my relationship with my ex-husband so that I could love again with others, because got to heal that heart or you can't love anyone, but especially myself. I love myself a lot, and I'm happy for that, because I never loved myself before. I couldn't look in the mirror. I didn't like who I was, let alone stand in front of all of you and have you look at me. But I do. I'm happy today I can see the light in your eyes because of sobriety as well. How we doing? Fast. I have a fast message. Okay, so let's see. What else do I want to know? Let's see. Well, I hope to live for many more years to come so I can keep continuing to share the message. I sponsor people, and I have... Oh, thank you for sharing your message. I have a soft web out me, but inside I'm strong. You know, I'm strong and serious about my recovery. So I keep people going. Come on, let's keep going. And happy birthday to the birthday people, and welcome to the newcomers. And I think that's really all I have to say. Is that all right? Yay. Thank you. Really? I scared you. No. Okay. My sons are, they're called mirror twins. Yeah, they're actually North and Southpaw. It's interesting, right? And thank you. I can tell you a little bit about that story then. So my great-great-grandmother is the one who helped me have that capability, have these twins. And she passed down the seeds for that. And I was going to have a home birth. And, you know, I had such a strong connection to my higher power, and I always have. Thank God that never changed. That, you know, at the last moment I went into a hospital and had those babies, thank God, or someone would have died. So any other questions? Yes.
Hi, this is Brian. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Brian.
Would you mind sharing something about, you said you're into healing, and I'm always interested in
Okay, so all my life I've been an intuitive empathic person, which means that I've always felt people's pain. So if you can imagine being so scared and feeling people's pain, that was very, very frightening. So I used to pray and meditate on my own before I got into the program. So the program encourages that. That was easy for me. I've always been that kind of person. So I've always gone to the mountains and meditated and prayed. But when I got out of the house, I needed to earn my living really quickly. So I got into business, and then I discovered that in order to fulfill my God calling, which is to help people, I had to go back to school. And so I became, I got interested in Eastern arts, Oriental medicine. You're welcome. Anyone else? Oh, yes, go ahead.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Cheryl.
So is there a happy relationship after all this, 20 years of sobriety?
Right. Well, I am actually dating somebody right now who's in the program, and that's pretty fun. It was funny because I got ready. I said, okay, I'm ready for more love. And I was with somebody for a couple of years, and that ran its course, and then I was told to keep putting myself out there, and it just turned out that I didn't meet him in a meeting. It just so happened that we found out he saw me in a meeting a couple years prior. So we have that in common, and I'm really grateful because I don't get along very well with people who use drugs and alcohol. I don't relate, and I don't want that kind of consciousness in my life. So I'm grateful that he is sober and we have the same principles? Good question. Anyone else? Yes, Derek.
How did you find your higher power?
Okay. Well, it's that, like I said, I've always known it. I've always felt it. I was always told it wasn't true, but not to believe in my intuition, but I always did, and I'm so grateful for that. I can feel that sensation inside myself and my heart when I'm connected, and I can feel when I'm not. I'm crazy and out of control and get all obsessive and spun out. So when I sit still for a moment and pause, like they say in the 11th step, I can feel the effects of my God consciousness just pouring through me and then connecting me and then helping me reach out to you. Thank you.
Heather, alcoholic.
Hi, Heather.
How long did it take you to accept the fact that you're an alcoholic versus just saying it in the meeting?
Yeah, quite honestly, I couldn't believe it took so long. It took 4 years. It took me 4 years of in and out, and I was thinking, why? Nothing changed. You know, it just became a point in my mind where I accepted I was alcoholic. I just didn't want to believe I belonged here, and it was quite obvious I did from the get-go. So don't wait. Take it. It's a gift. Here, take it. Yes? Hi, Paulina. That's a good question. What changed is my willingness. It definitely was the first step. I had to really, really admit to my inner self that I belonged here. Because before that, I would choose sponsors that were not in alignment with who I am today. So bless their hearts. I chose a homeless woman. I chose a pothead. You know, I mean, it was ridiculous until one day I was in a meeting in Santa Monica and I heard this woman speaking from the podium talking about the sixth step. And I had gone probably up to about the fourth step. So I didn't even know what the sixth step was about. But I loved what she had to say. So I walked up to her and I said, "Will you be my sponsor?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, how am I going to do it? I've never been sober as long as you. I don't know if I can do it." And she said, "No matter what, don't drink. No matter what, pick up the phone and call me." And I'm like, "I'm not going to pick up the phone and I'm not going to drink. I want to drink, really." She's, "No, if you really, really want to stop, you'll pick up the phone." So one day, at Thanksgiving one year, I was in the food line, and remember, I'm really intuitive, and it was very bizarre. I got this little idea in my mind that there was alcohol in the stuffing, and I was like, really? Now, before I would have been, woohoo, but this time I went up to the hostess. I said, "What's in the stuffing?" And she said, "There's brandy in the stuffing." And I go, "Oh, excuse me." And I went to the phone and called my sponsor, and I was in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and she was in L.A. I mean, it was like, that's what it's like today. My sisters aren't sober. I go to visit them. I have to go into the closet and call, "Oh, my God, they're passing the bottle around and it's scaring me." And she'll say, "Go outside, take a walk, hit your knees." So that's it. Any other questions? Yes?
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Gary. But like I said, more and more, I just feel happier being serene. That's the bottom line. It takes time and willingness. It's just my desire to be calmer today. And it used to be my desire to be chaotic. So it's just been a switch. Anyone else? How are we doing? On time. Oh, my goodness. Oh, goodness. I'll tell you about Helen. When Helen met me the first time was 13 years ago. She reminded me. I was speaking in a meeting in La Jolla, in Malibu. And she said, "Oh, my God, you're so, so shy." I would be like, "Hi, I'm na-na-na." So I've changed. See, that's good. Because we're all about getting our true selves out there. It's not about me. It's about me being willing to spread God's message. And what am I going to do if I'm in the closet? I was definitely a closet person before. And it didn't, you know, it doesn't serve me. It doesn't serve you. And besides, I'm just learning to say yes more often. Larry asked me at the La Jolla meeting, and I said, "Well, why did you ask me?" And he goes, "How did you know to ask me?" And he goes, because you weren't texting, you weren't talking, you were sitting still in the meeting, I knew you had long-time sobriety. I was like, really? Oh. But I can talk about when I was 7 years sober. That's when I lived in Malibu, and I moved south to San Diego. And that was very, very difficult because all my core people were up there, and then I moved to a foreign, felt like a foreign land. And I was, again, I was afraid. And there were meetings just right down the street, but I'd have to call my girlfriends up in Malibu, and they'd drive down, and they would take me to meetings. I mean, that's what I've learned to do is ask for help. I mean, even in the simplest things, like I need to go to the doctors and I'm afraid. People have asked me that and I'm like, I will go with you. That's what we have here. We're a we program, like Candy said, and we're here to help each other. Anyone else? Yes? Hi, Cheryl.
Earlier in sobriety or even when you first got sober, did you ever isolate?
Oh, yeah. So now I can fall back on that. You know, maybe I don't use drugs and alcohol, but I can use my original outs, like sugar, food, isolation, books, movies. I can check out. And then I get sick of it. You know, I'm like, oh, my God, this is not fun. I want to get out in the world again. I want to play. And more I'm learning to use those things less and less, you know, to just overcome my fears and just get into life. Because if not now, when? This is it, guys. Today. You know, my son was so wonderful the other day. He told me, he goes, yeah, I can't wait. He's in Spain right now. He goes, I can't wait to come home. I miss you so much. And that's so awesome. You know, my sons miss me. And he said, but you know, I know that if I'm waiting for June, that God forbid, I said the God forbid part. He said, if I go out in the street and get hit by a bus, I'm like, God forbid, God forbid. He goes, then my last thought will be, I was waiting for June. What about today? Right? Today is where it's all about. Today we have all the power of choice. Today we get to live. And we get to do it sober and we get to spread the message. Does that help? Yes? That was a very good question. Pretty much, like I said, instantly. I had a love affair with AA instantly. The problem I had was how to relate to others, and most specifically my ex-husband. I didn't know how to relate to him sober with him drinking. That's why I choose to have sober relationships, because I just can't do it. So I'm grateful to say it's been lifted. I don't ever want to go back to drinking. That's usually not my thought. Yes?
Hi, Molly.
How
many sponsees do you have, and are you accepting any new?
I have a few, and yes, I am. Thank you for asking. You can get my number at the end of the show tonight. Okay, who else? How much more time do I have? This is like the longest. I'm just used to talking fast, aren't I? Spinning plates. Yes, anyone else?
Thank you.
Yay!